Good evening. It's Tuesday night, November 18th. This is Rabbi Feldman's Shir. Tonight's Shir is sponsored by Laszlo Berkowitz to commemorate the yard site of his mother, Gittel Bas Tzvi.
Thank you very much. I'd like to talk about a topic that has a number of connections to this past week's parsha, and we'll start off with one. This past week we read about Avram's treatment of the guests, the angels who he thought were travelers, and Chazal tell us that Avram got tremendous rewards for his descendants because of what he did to them. And there are some things he did himself, and there are some things that he used a shaliach to do. They used probably Yishmael to be his emissary, to be his messenger. And things that he did himself, so the Jews were rewarded by God directly, and the things that he used an intermediary, that he used a shaliach, so they were rewarded through an intermediary. Apparently it's a different level, that's what it sounds like. And indeed, the Talmud tells us that there is such a rule, that even though we have a principle of shlichus, we'll call it agency, sir? Perfect. Okay, I intended that. I totally did that on purpose. That even though we have welcome to Daf Yomi Shir, that we have a principle of shlichus, with a principle of agency, still the Talmud says that when agency is effective, it's not always effective. You can't use it for everything. You can't say, I'm not going to get up tomorrow morning, I'll have somebody else put on tefillin for me. So certain things it works for and certain things it doesn't work for, and maybe we'll have a chance to talk about that. But to the extent that it works, the Talmud still says it's not really ideal. And even if shlichus is effective, we still prefer that you'll do a mitzvah yourself. And the principle is known as mitzvah bo. That we prefer the mitzvah be done by yourself rather than through your emissary. The Talmud in today's daf apparently tells us, Mishnah says that ish mekadesh bo b'slucho, that a man can marry a woman whether he does it himself or he does it through an emissary, so through an agent. So the Gemara says, well, if we know that he could do it through an agent, so of course he can do it himself. Why does Mishnah have to tell us that there's an option of doing it himself? That clearly is possible. The Gemara says, no, it's telling us this to make a point that even though he could be doing it through a shliach, we still prefer that he do it himself, mitzvah bo. So that's the primary case where this is told to us. The Gemara tells it in the context of Kiddushin, that even though it's possible to get married through an agent, you don't see that too often nowadays. Nowadays, it's not such a prevalent practice. Kidney might see it, right? But by Kiddushin you don't see it so often. Kiddushin, usually people are more interested in being present. When it comes to getting those different types of feelings, when it comes to Kiddushin, people usually don't use it, although maybe it might come back into fashion, because nowadays we always look for more kibbutim, we look for more honors. So this is an opportunity to honor somebody with a shlichus with Kiddushin. I think there was a Satmar Rebbe, the chef often quotes from the Satmar Rebbe, that commented once that, you know, it used to be that they didn't have what they have nowadays, that all the Sheva Brachas are recited by different people. It used to be that they would have, one rabbi would get up and say all the Sheva Brachas. So this whole idea of dividing up the Brachas to seven different honorees is itself a newer practice to perhaps give an opportunity for more kibbutim. I think as Satmar Rebbe once said, that they will come, or they'll call up different people, one person for bu and one person for rich. You say bu rich, the first word, they usually say for each syllable. So there's always an attempt to try to make as many honors as possible. So maybe shliach for kedushin will come back into fashion, but right now we don't see it so much. And the Gemara says that you shouldn't see it so much because it's not the ideal way to do things. Preferably, you'll it comes to kedushin. The Gemara mentions other reasons why it's not so ideal, but it sounds like it's a principle b'chol Torah kula that we prefer that you do a mitzvah yourself, that you don't use a shliach. It sounds like it's not 100% clear that's the case. The Gemara really has it in this setting, in the setting of Kiddushin, and also in the setting of Kavod Shabbos. The Gemara tells us that when certain great Rabbanim would prepare for Shabbos, even though it would seem like they could have other people do the preparations, they would be involved themselves. So we find it really in those two contexts. So it's usually assumed that this is true b'chol Torah kula. It's usually assumed that as a general rule, any time you have this option of shlichus, it's really second best, that we'd prefer you do it yourself. There are those, like Shlomo Kluger, who thought that it was more limited, and maybe it's only in these cases where the Gemara talks about it, and everything else we don't care, and we'll talk about that a little bit as well. But for the most part, it's generally assumed that this is a principle of Chalas Arei Kula. It seems to be the mainstream view. As far as trying to understand what it's about, I'll first mention a very interesting position. That in the context of Kiddushin, in the context of getting married, so there is a position, Mari Mintz had an idea that if somebody is going to use a shliach, so the best choice is a little bit surprising. You would think it's the worst choice. But who's the best choice if you're going to use a shliach? To use your father. So you think that's the worst choice. It's not so b'chavadik to have your father go around and do missions for you. It's not normally what we would recommend. So why is he the best choice here? Because Mari Mintz explains that since the Mishnah again in Kiddushin tells us that the father has the responsibility to marry off the son, so therefore it's a little bit his mitzvah too. So he's part of the story. So if it's going to be somebody else, better that it should be him, better than somebody completely outside of the obligation. And working off of that principle, Joseph Engel, in his commentary to the Gemara, it's called Bilyone Hashas, Joseph Engel writes that if that were the case, if one were to use his father as a shliach, then we wouldn't even say mitzvah boyos and b'slucho. We'd say that's just as good. So what does that represent? How do you get to such a conclusion? So I think that's perhaps relevant to understanding the whole story here. What exactly is the reason that we say mitzvah boyos and b'slucho? Why do we have this preference for doing it yourself? So I think there are at least two or three ways to look at it. Now, on the one hand, we could maintain that the issue is one of respecting the mitzvah. We want to show proper honor to the mitzvah. And we know if you want to honor somebody, you have a distinguished guest. So if the guest is really distinguished, so you come yourself. You don't send your representative. You don't send your assistant. And if you go yourself, that's a way of showing more honor. So too, when it comes to a mitzvah, so even if the mitzvah technically could be fulfilled by somebody other than you, if you're the one obligated, so it's not so nice to send somebody who's not really obligated. Better that the person who's going to go should be the person who actually is obligated. So that's one way of understanding it, that essentially it's for the purposes of the mitzvah. We want to honor the mitzvah, or we don't want to show dishonor to the mitzvah. You could understand it in a positive way, in a negative way, that you want to do it yourself to honor the mitzvah more properly. You don't want to send somebody else in order to not dishonor the mitzvah. Either way you want to phrase it, perhaps that's what we're talking about. Alternatively, we could say differently, and we could say that it's about schar. That's the way Rashi understands it. Rashi in his commentary to Kiddushin, Rashi says that it's about reward. Now, we know that the principle is lafum tzara agar, and Mishnah tells us that the person is rewarded in accordance with his effort, so the more effort he puts into a mitzvah, so the more reward he's going to get. So presumably, to have a shliach do a mitzvah for you, that's the minimal amount of effort you could possibly put in. Here, instead of you doing anything, instead of lifting a finger, you're just going to have somebody else do it for you. So technically speaking, it could be a fulfillment, but it seems like this is a fulfillment with the least possible effort you could imagine. So if the idea is that we want to give you a reward, so then we can understand that we're telling you that yes, there are minimal ways to fulfill the mitzvah, but we recommend you don't do that. We recommend that you fulfill the mitzvah through your own personal effort and involvement. So these are two possibilities to start off with, whether it's about honoring the mitzvah with your presence or whether it's about putting in effort. So this could be reflected in another position. The Magen Avraham writes that the concept of mitzvah b'olos and b'shlucho applies to bedikas chametz. When you're searching for chametz before Pesach, so you have an obligation with the Rabbanan to make sure you have no chametz in your house. So the Magen Avraham says that here also we have a principle of mitzvah b'ol, that even though in theory you certainly can use someone else to fulfill this obligation for you, we would advise that you don't do that. We recommend you do it yourself. So the Prima Gadim, who wrote a commentary on the Magen Avraham, one of the half of the Prima Gadim is called the Mishnah Shel Zav. So the Prima Gadim writes that in his understanding this would only be true on the beginning. Let's say you have a house with 45 rooms. So you only have to do the first one. You start the mitzvah off. And then the other 44 and a half rooms you could have somebody else do. That's fine. So if you want to fulfill this preference, the mitzvah b'yos and the shlucho, means that you should start it off. So that really only works according to one of our understandings, really according to the first one. Because if it's an idea of honoring the mitzvah, so you should be making an appearance. Afterwards you can leave, but make an appearance personally. But if it's an idea of getting a star, so then to whatever extent you could do more, we'd advise you to do more. You know, we normally say, Hamashkel is a mitzvah, Omer Malo Gemor, somebody who begins with Tom to finish. So it would make sense that whatever effort there is to be had, you should take that part of the advice. So if it's about star, I probably wouldn't accept this advice of this position of the mitzvah of, but it's about honoring the mitzvah. Perhaps you could see it. Just while we're on the subject of Pesach, so there's a third perspective also you have on this, the Pri Chodesh, and Hachos Pesach writes that he was makbid always to make his own matzahs himself, and he writes that in general it's a good idea to do mitzvahs yourself because of the principle of if you want something done right, you got to do it yourself. It's just a general good advice, not necessarily prescribed, but for the purposes of effectiveness. You want to make sure mitzvah is being done in the proper way, so you're going to have a much better chance if you're personally involved. So it's not, not so that there specifically helped, that his understanding helps us to see why he said that also, because whether or not it's mitzvah to make matzah is relevant, how the matzah is made is relevant to your mitzvah. So his adopting the position there shows that it's more functional. You just want to make sure that everything is done right, so maybe that's what the whole mitzvah bow is about, to make sure it's all done right. But without getting so much into that part, which is more practical, let's focus more on the first two possibilities, that either it's about honoring the mitzvah or it's about getting as much fire as you can for yourself. So if you want to say that it's about honoring the mitzvah, so then perhaps we could understand Rabbi Yosef Engel's position, that when he says the father is the best choice for a shliach with kedushin, so if it's about schar, so what difference does it make who the shliach is? As long as it's not you, you're not going to get the schar that you could be getting. But if the issue is that we don't want to embarrass the mitzvah, so to speak, by having somebody who's not responsible, so that's when our mitzvah's case. You're saying, well, the father is responsible. He's not the person himself and not the chassan, but he's somebody who's obligated to worry about the chassan getting married, so therefore it's not like you're giving it off to somebody who's not involved. You're giving it to somebody who is involved, and therefore perhaps this concern of disrespecting the mitzvah isn't really relevant. Along the same lines, there is a view of the Tuas Shor, which not everybody accepted, but the Tuas Shor had an opinion in Yeridaya, in Chaf Ches Yudal, which talks about the Kisei Hadam. We have an obligation, the Torah tells us, you shecht an animal, there's blood on the ground, so you have to cover up the blood. So the Tuas Shor says, so technically speaking, you would assume that this is the obligation of the Shofet. The Shofet who shechted the animal should have the responsibility to cover up the blood himself. So he shouldn't pass it off to somebody else, at least not ideally. But says the Tuas Shor, what if he wants to do this as an act of kavod, like we sometimes find today in Tzimchus, so a mitzvah is often given to a prominent person as a way of honoring the person, honoring the mitzvah. It's a way of honoring both of them, perhaps. So if that's what you're doing, if you're doing it not because you're not interested in doing it, but you're doing it because you want to take the opportunity to show greater kavod to somebody, you thought that was acceptable. So that also perhaps reflects the idea that normally you, so to speak, pass it off, so then you're not honoring the mitzvah. But here, if the whole intent is not to absolve yourself, but to find somebody who will give the process greater honor, so then one could argue that that wouldn't be in the category of mitzvah b'yos and b'zulcho, and that's the position that that the Tuas Shor seems to take. And again, if it's about shkar, it wouldn't seem like this would necessarily be relevant. There is another expression of this. The Ma'arach or Zarua has a position that he thought it wasn't necessarily a principle of B'chol Torah Kula, and that it's really focused on Kedushin. He hasn't talked so much about Erev Shabbos in his discussion. He seems to be focused on Kedushin specifically. That's really where this principle comes up. Why? Why is it different? The Gemara says it's different because of the issues of Yehafta or Yehafta Kamotha, the kind of thing you don't want to trust to somebody else. But in addition to that, so the Ma'arach or Zarua says that Kedushin is kind of unique here. Because when it comes to Kedushin, Kedushin is really in its own category, as far as how nobody else benefits, even though everyone seems pretty happy at a wedding and a lot of people come to celebrate. But in a sense, in a very technical sense, really only the chassan benefits. While if you compare it to, let's say, shechita, so I want to shecht my animal, so I have somebody else shecht it. Okay, so it's not his responsibility, but he could benefit. I could invite him over for a steak dinner and we could all eat this animal together. Or I send somebody else to separate truma from me, so it's my obligation really, but I'll, you know, he in theory will also gain from the fact that the food becomes mutter. So that's the other extreme. There you're fulfilling a mitzvah which could benefit everybody. When it comes to Kedushin in the technical sense is the polar opposite, because the act of Kedushin makes her forbidden to everybody else. So here he's completely out of the story. This Shliach, by performing his Shlichus here, is making this woman off limits to him. So it's really something which doesn't involve anyone else besides the Chasen. So it's a more extreme case of where the mitzvah is really about one person. So in that case, that's where we really say mitzvah b'yos and mishlucho. But in other mitzvahs where it's not so blatant, and the other extreme being something like truma or shchita, so we wouldn't say it. So that really does focus again on the idea of not disrespecting the mitzvah by having it performed by somebody less responsible for the mitzvah. There is an interesting shita which a lot of later achronim didn't like this either, but it's quoted, the Sefer Yismach Moshe in his commentary to Parashas Ekev, suggested that we don't apply this rule if the shliach is being paid. If you're paying the shliach, then we have no problem. We don't say mitzvah b'yos and b'shulcho. We only say it's in the case of an unpaid shliach. So on the surface, I would have guessed that this sounds like Rashi. Rashi is saying you should put effort into every word. So you should put time in. If you're not going to put time, put money. Money is also a way of spending something. So that will also get you reward. That will also show a certain amount of effort. So that's how I initially would have thought it lines up. I saw a different suggestion, an interesting possibility also. There's a Talmud Chacham in Eretz Yisrael named by David Mandelbaum. He's written a tremendous amount, and he published also a Sfarim of many other Gedolim. So he published the Shuvah of the Chalkes Yov, and in the back he has people who wrote footnotes in the Chalkes Yov, and he wrote footnotes to the footnotes, and the footnotes to the footnotes of somebody in the Chalkes Yov. So he writes the following observation, that there is a question in general, how does shlichus work? Yosef Engel, for example, has an essay about this in the beginning of the Sefer Lekach Tov. A number of the achronim discussed this question. How does the principle of agency work? There's a couple different models. Yosef Engel has three, but we'll simplify to say two models. On the one hand, so let's say I ask Ruvain to go do a mitzvah for me. And we know that that works. Okay, the mitzvah is accomplished. So what does that mean? Does that mean that Ruvain did the mitzvah, but I fulfill my obligation through Ruvain's action? Or do we say, no, Ruvain is me. Ruvain is my worker. He's on my payroll. He's an extension of me. So I did the mitzvah. I did the mitzvah with Ruvain's body, but I did it essentially. So some suggest, well, it depends. Depends if you're paying him or not. If I'm asking Ruvain to do it as a favor, so then it's his decision. He's doing it. And it happens to be I fulfill my obligation when he does it. But it's Ruvain's action. But if I'm paying him, he's on my payroll, he's my employee, so he wears my uniform, he's representing me, and he doesn't have the option then of saying no, he's working for me. So then, that's actually like I did it. So both models acknowledge that I could be Yosef the Mitzvah, but in the first model, I'm Yosef the Mitzvah through somebody else's action, and in the second Mitzvah, his action connects to me. So it says by David Mandelbaum, so maybe that's the issue here also. But if I'm just asking somebody to do it, so then it's his action. So mitzvah b'yos m'sucho, it's not so nice for the mitzvah. The mitzvah is not being taken care of by somebody who's primarily responsible. But if he's my he's on my payroll, he's my employee, so then he represents me. And then it is like the mitzvah is being done for me. So then that's the other angle. So two different ways to understand this position of Yismach Moshe in accordance with the two different positions that we've brought up here. There is a question that a lot of the acronyms discuss of Yeshua Ehrenberg and his Tshuvas Devarim. Yeshua has a discussion about this, and Rav Berish Wiedenfeld and his Tshuvas Devarim Meisharim, and a number of others, Rashi Tashinsky, raise the question, what happens if you have a conflict that I could insist on mitzvah b'yosin and b'shulcho, or the mitzvah would benefit from being done by somebody else. Somebody else is going to do a better job. So it's a hidden mitzvah opportunity, a beautification of the mitzvah is the alternative. In the case that a lot of the scholars talk about, most of the shivas are addressing, is the situation of the mitzvah of ksiva sefer Torah, mitzvah to write a sefer Torah. So if you're going to write a sefer Torah, so maybe you could pull off a kosher sefer Torah, perhaps, let's say, but chances are a professional is going to do a nicer job. So you want to produce a Sefer Torah, so the Sefer Torah is certainly going to be happier if it's done by somebody who knows what he's doing. So what should you prefer? Should you prefer mitzvah bar, or should you prefer hiddur mitzvah? So yeah, the Achronim pretty much all agree that hiddur mitzvah is a stronger principle. The mitzvah bar, perhaps like Rashi, that's advice, but it's assuming you can do the mitzvah in the optimal way. But if the mitzvah is not going to be performed in the best possible manner, so then that's really a priority. And some suggest also that hiddur mitzvah is often assumed to be a mitzvah in Torah or an Asmachta. Well, mitzvah bo, we don't really have a source for. We don't necessarily have any reason to believe it's a mitzvah min haTorah. It's an advice. It's not a din in the same sense. And it's generally agreed that the hidden mitzvah would win out. Along similar lines, as Pesach Frank has a tshuva about balancing mitzvah bo versus the reason makdima mitzvah is doing a mitzvah as quickly as possible. Let's say you have a firstborn son who on the day of his 30th day, you're out of town. So you have an obligation of pidyon haben. So there's two ways you could do it. Either you could wait till you come home a day or two later, and you'll do it yourself, but it won't be the earliest opportunity. It's not like milah where the mitzvah is the eighth day, and after that it's already late. When it comes to pidyon haben, it's just a question of the earliest opportunity. But do we want to take the earliest opportunity, or do we say mitzvah bo? It happens to be shlichus by pidyon haben itself for the whole discussion, how and if that works. Assuming that it works, so then that's, again, this discussion. So what do you prefer? Do you prefer to do the mitzvah in the ideal way, if there's reason, or do we say mitzvah bo yosu mishlucha? So along these same lines, you find such a discussion. There's also a discussion I think we had occasion probably to mention recently, the Chiddush of the Nitziv. The Nitziv has an idea concerning the principle of a hechsher mitzvah. Hechsher mitzvah normally means an action that I'm going to do in preparation for a mitzvah. So normally we assume that a mitzvah is a mitzvah, and a hechsher mitzvah, that's a mitzvah, it's not a mitzvah. It's a preparation for a mitzvah. So the Nitziv says, not exactly like that, that there is an in-between category as well. That if you have a mitzvah, which is a hechsher mitzvah, you have an action for a mitzvah, a preparation for a mitzvah, that's mentioned in Chumash itself, so that's a higher level. It's called a hechsher mitzvah haksuva b'kra. It's mentioned in Chumash itself, and that has kind of a quasi-mitzvah status. So what's the significance of something being a quasi-mitzvah? So he has there a list of different things which are were different things that are done for a quasi-mitzvah which wouldn't be done if it wasn't a mitzvah at all. One of the things he lists there is mitzvah bo yosu mishlucha, that if we do grant the status of on the way to a mitzvah, mehetra mitzvah ksuva b'kra, so then we would apply the rule of mitzvah bo yosu mishlucha. That's what it sounds like. So it's not, and there happens to be the Pnei Yeshua writes that also, that a hechsher mitzvah by itself doesn't have mitzvah bo yosu mishlucha. Perhaps that's actually interesting. So Kedushin was a machlokish. So according to the Rambam and the Sefer Achinos, at least Kedushin is a mitzvah. A lot of other Rishonim as well. And according to the Rush, maybe not. So you have to assume then that the Pnei Yeshua is assuming Kedushin is a mitzvah. But according to the Nitziv, right, according to the Nitziv, you don't have to worry about it because his Kedush of Hechmas Fetzuv B'Krosh was at least that. A number of Nishan Alper published a Quintus once, so he made that point. That the whole question of how to classify Kedushin, is Kedushin a mitzvah or not? So he suggested that it's actually in that category that has a mitzvah ksuv b'kras. According to Nitziv, it's not a question. According to the Pnei Yeshua, who never heard of this Kedushin, Nitziv, and he just has a half mitzvah, so then you'd have to either assume that he believes Kedushin is a mitzvah Right, that's how the Rosh understands that the mitzvah, the kedushin itself is not a mitzvah. It's a preparation for the mitzvah of starting a family. But so it could be building a sukkah. Might be building a sukkah is generally understood not to be a mitzvah itself. Right, so living in the sukkah is a mitzvah. So the building of the sukkah, that's where the mitzvah comes up with this idea. That's a mitzvah that's not really a mitzvah, but it clearly has a certain significance to it. So that's a hechsher mitzvah ksuva b'kra. That's one of these examples. So if you want to say that it's all about tzchaya, so then why do we care whether it's a mitzvah or not? If it's something that is on the way to a mitzvah, this is part of the effort that I have to do to get a mitzvah. So all of the effort that I put towards a mitzvah should count. So this also seems to suggest that it's about honoring the mitzvah properly. So if something is so far away from the mitzvah, it's not the mitzvah itself, it's the preparation, so then you could argue, okay, you could let anyone do that. But once it enters into this quasi-mitzvah status, then as the mitzvah says, then it's already going to benefit a little bit from being graced with the presence of the one who's actually obligated. There is a very unusual position that the Raiva that the Rivash quotes, and other earlier sources have this as well, a very unusual suggestion that if one does get married to a shliach, that it's recommended that afterwards she mekadesh her again, a second time. It's a very strange idea. Rav Stengel in his Chidushim compares this to an idea that the Gemara has in Masechta Shabbos of hekdesh ilui. Then when it comes to being makdesh an animal, when it comes to being sanctified, when it comes to sanctifying something, so we know that the Gemara in the beginning of Kedushin parallels hekdesh in the sense of sanctification and Kedushin in the sense of marriage. So when it comes to sanctification, hekdesh, we find that there is an idea of a hekdesh ilui, that even if it was sanctified on one level, you could still notch it up. You can sanctify on a higher level. So too, maybe when it comes to Kedushin, it's possible to mekadesh even better. So that bracha is presumably not. But the whole idea is a little unusual. But it seems to be that this is about effort. Because if it's about honoring the mitzvah, so the mitzvah has already been done. So maybe the suggestion is just, even after the fact, you should put more effort in and have some connection to the process somehow. There is a great emphasis put on this when it comes to the mitzvah of milah. The Shach was very adamant that he thinks it's not right that people who know how to do a bris milah should have a mohel do it. In his mind, this is really a mitzvah that you're obligated to do on your own, and it's not right to have a shliach do it. Our practice nowadays is not to take this into account that much. Probably a better idea. Better that you should have somebody else do it, although usually people who have somebody else do it don't really know how to do it themselves. So the Shach is saying that if you know how to do it yourself, so do you think the mitzvah bow really applies? And it sounds like from the way he's putting it, he doesn't even think shliachus really works by Mila. And it so explains over there that he thinks that it's a mitzvah you have to do with your body, the first father has to do it himself, and that it's not considered to be a results-based mitzvah. But the general distinction that we normally have is that it's so over there, quotes from the Tosfos Rid, which is the famous Tosfos Rid on this point, that if it's a mitzvah you have to do with your body, then shliachus doesn't work. So we mentioned before tefillin, so you can't say that I'll have somebody else put tefillin on for me. You have to do that with your body, so you have to put tefillin on yourself. You can't say, I'll have somebody else take a little of an esrei for me. I like the Israeli lulavim, so I'm going to sit here in America, I'll point the shliach to go there as well and take a little of there. It's not going to work. It's a mitzvah you do with your body, and therefore that requires your actual presence. So apparently he understands, even though you could argue that this meal is more about the result, because it's about the boy having a bris, the Shach didn't see it so much that way, and the Shach thought that really this should be done by yourself. So working off of this attitude, he finds in some of the later Achronim additional reasoning why there's a theme to the bris that really requires your presence. And the Ksav Sofer has a Tshuva in which he discusses the fact that bris is compared to a carbon, and it's a sense, kivyachol, like you're kind of sacrificing the boy, letting him go through this painful process. Because if that's the case, so clearly it's much more so if the father's doing it himself, if he's just going to stand by and let somebody else do it. So you don't have that imagery as much. And in that context, so here's another connection to this past week's parasha. She said this is true about the Akedah, that the Akedah really, technically speaking, Avram could have done that with the Shliach. He could have had somebody else go and bring Yitzchak himself. But Avram perceived that the Nishayon would be much more greatly accomplished if he does it himself. And whatever God was asking of him was going to be addressed more fully by him doing it himself. And therefore, he not only allowed it to happen, but he was the one who did it. And it sounds so right. That's Chad, the pasuk that we read on Shabbos morning, that the Malach says to Avram, Yana Sharashisha, Velochasachdes, Bencha, that you did this, and that you didn't spare your sons. It sounds a little bit redundant, two things. So the Ksav Sofer says, no, he's talking about two separate ideas here, that one that you locha saftis, and okay, you didn't say no, I'm not going to let this happen. But even once you agree to let it happen, you could have had somebody else do it. So you realize that it was even greater for you to do it yourself. So that Yana Shiras Yisra, that's also something that deserves special mention. That Mitzvah Yosim Shlucho in the context of the Akedah. So it's a second connection to Parshas Vayera. The next Yontif that we have coming up is Hanukkah. The next major Yontif. So in the context of Hanukkah, well, we find also that the seems to be there that we don't have a kveda for a mitzvah yosim b'shlucho, that we have this idea that anyone in the house can light the Hanukkah candles, and we don't really find the preference that one does it himself, at least in practice nowadays. So Tanya Shua writes that that's because it's a different type of mitzvah, that we assume that it's a chuvas habayis, it's an obligation on the house, so therefore it doesn't give itself as much to mitzvah b'yosim b'shlucho. So that seems to be addressing it from the mitzvah perspective. We're saying the mitzvah really isn't addressed to an individual, it's addressed to a resident, and therefore the principle of it being honored or dishonored doesn't really come into play as much in that context. I'll just mention one more point. Yosef Spengel, in his Chiddushim to Gittin, one place connects this principle to another principle that we find, that of Gadol HaMesuva Ve'osa Mish'ena Mesuva Ve'osa. We generally say, this is again a Zimun Kedushin, that a mitzvah is more garnering of praise, brings more reward if the person performing it is obligated. It's a little bit counterintuitive, the whole discussion why this is, but that if somebody volunteers to a mitzvah that he's not obligated in, so sometimes that's worthwhile, but it doesn't get the same kind of schar, it doesn't have the same kind of punch as somebody who's actually obligated. So the risk angle connects these ideas, and that seems to focus more on this idea of honoring the mitzvah. That the mitzvah is more honored when it's done by somebody who's obligated, and the mitzvah is done not by that person doesn't have the same type of effect. So this is the risk angle shitasa, the same position that the father is an okay shliach, so much so that he's not going to say mitzvah bo in the context of Kiddushin, because he also shows honor to the mitzvah, because he's also obligated. So here, again, Yosef Spengel seems to be upholding that position throughout, but that's the focus. Okay, so we'll stop there, just to review a little bit what we spoke about. So we spoke about the fact that we find in Parshas Vayera that there are certain things Avram did himself and certain things he did through a shliach, and the distinction was noted by Chazal. And in general, we find that even though there is this principle of agency of shlichus, that the Gemara tells us in the beginning of the second parak at Kedushin that it's preferable that a person do it himself. And this is there in our context of marriage and in the context of our Shabbos. And it's normally assumed that it's true about everything. Those are the examples in the Gemara, but it's true everything, even though some like of Shema Kodur are limited it just to the examples that we find in the Gemara. And we mentioned that Maharimins had this idea that if one uses a shliach, a father is a shliach for Kedushin, so then that's the best choice because he's also obligated. And if Yosef Spengel saying therefore there's no principle of mitzvah in such a case, and so to explain that, so we posited this question about what is the focus of this idea. Is it about honoring the mitzvah, or is it about getting more schar? And we mentioned the question of B'dikas Chametz, which the Magen Avraham says there's a rule here of mitzvah also, and the Mishpat Hosav says it's only true about the first room, we don't have to do the whole house, so that seems to be about honor rather than schar. And in the context of Pesach, we also saw the Prichadash saying he makes matzahs himself, so that if you want it done right, which would be a third sheet. But if you assume it's about honor, that explains Yosef Spengel's position, why the father, who's also obligated, is therefore a good choice as well. And we discussed the position of Tefuah Shor, that you can be mechabed somebody else in the mitzvah, and we won't say mitzvah bo. And then we talked about the Marach or Zeruah, who limits it really to Kedushin, and says Kedushin is a unique case because nobody else benefits. In fact, everyone else gets cut off in the situation, and so therefore they're really left out, so that's why I say mitzvah bo. But if on the other extreme, it's something like Hafresh Truma or Shchita, where other people can benefit, so then we would not say mitzvah bo. And we talked about the Yismach Moshe, who says that if you're paying the shliach, then there's no mitzvah bo. Not everyone accepted this. We mentioned how it sounds like on the surface. It was like last year, put in time or put in money. And we mentioned by David Mandelbaum suggesting differently that it just goes to the question of what is shlichus? Is shlichus somebody else doing a mitzvah for you, or somebody else doing a mitzvah as you? And how some suggest that it depends if you're paying him. you're paying him, he becomes like you. So that's what he's saying, that if he's paid, so then it's less of a disrespect to the mitzvah, because it's really as if you're doing it yourself. And then we talked about the question of the poskim. You say that either mitzvah wins out over mitzvah bo, often in the context of writing a sefer Torah, another context as well. And there you really find a universal emphasis on hidden mitzvah as an actual din, and a principle that is much more powerful, while mitzvah bo is considered more advice to the doer that shouldn't come at the expense of the mitzvah. We mentioned also a few Pesach Spank discussion about Pidgin Aben, if you have to choose between mitzvah bo or Zrizim Matim and the mitzvah. And then we talked about the question of the Hekshe mitzvah. Is there a mitzvah bo by that? And Yeshua says no. And then it says only by a special hidden mitzvah that's mentioned in the Chumash. And that seems to suggest it's about honoring the mitzvah, not about the effort. And then we talked about the Rivash and the Ravid. Why is this idea, Rivash quoting the Ravid, why is this idea that if you're Mekadesh and Mashiach, you should do it again? And that seems to be more focused on effort because the mitzvah is already done. And then we talked about the whole discussion in the context of Mila, how the Shach says really Mila shouldn't be done by somebody else, and what that might suggest. And we talked about how in that context, how the Shach Sofer says because Mila is compared to a carbon, so that mitzvah specifically has much more effectiveness if it's being done by the father himself, and how he explains that's also going on in the context of the Akedah, that the Akedah could have been done by a Sheikh, but Avraham realized that's much more effective if he does it himself, and that's why the Pasuk says, as you said, you did it yourself, in addition to Lo Chasachta, that you didn't skip out on the Akedah completely. And then we talked also about Hanukkah candles, how we really don't find the principle of the Pinyin Yeshua notes of Mitzvah Bo over there, and how he explains because really it's a Chovos HaBayis, which doesn't lend itself to that as much. And then we just mentioned the Rosh Fengel also connecting this principle to God Lahamad Suviyosa, that in general we find that a mitzvah has more schar when it's done by somebody who's obligated rather than somebody who's volunteering. So too, this is a similar idea in his understanding, therefore also reflecting, consistent with the earlier Rosh Fengel view, that it's about honoring the mitzvah properly rather than anything else. Okay, so we will stop there.